Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic hits.
All right. Look, I want to move on to something which is just as concerning, by the way. And it's also by form of email. We normally don't read two emails out in one day, but I just thought this was extremely interesting. It's a pretty tragic story. And it says, "Hi, Niall, please keep my identity." By the way, if you ever want to send us an email, you can. It's if you just send it to niall.boylan@classichits.ie or niallboylan@classichits or even niall@classichits, I'll get it, right? @classichits.ie, all right? Or if you can't think of that, just send it to info@classichits.ie and we'll get it. It'll be sent to us, all right? Okay, it says, "Hi, Niall, please keep my identity a secret if you discuss this in your show. It is a very sensitive family issue and I don't want my husband or my family knowing about it. My husband has a severe gambling addiction, but he's in denial about the extent of it. I've been trying to convince him to go for help for the past number of years, but he tells me he doesn't need help and that he has everything under control. I started to see a pattern of him increasing on how much he was gambling and then getting really annoyed when he'd lose all the money. Recently, it has got a lot worse and I don't know if I can put up with this much more. Before Christmas, he spent our Christmas savings on bets and lost it all. Christmas was really tough for us financially. Everything suffered, especially our children. It has caused huge problems in our house and he said he wouldn't do it again and that was the last time. It seemed like an epiphany and I actually believed him. Fast forward to now and sadly, we're back to square one. Our mortgage payment was not in the bank when he was due to go out and I just knew that he had spent it. He admitted to it and said that maybe he does have a gambling problem and look for sympathy from me. I was unable to be sympathetic because, quite frankly, I feel I've just had enough at this stage. I don't know what more I can take or how much more I can take. I'm at my wit's end, but also torn by the fact that I love my husband. I don't want to break up our family and make him leave, but I also don't see any other option right now. I know marriage is in sickness and in health, and that is an addiction is probably a sickness. This is making me second guess my decision to leave him. I know I wouldn't leave him if he had a physical illness, so my head keeps thinking I would be wrong to leave him because of this addiction. I don't know why I'm sending you this email, if I'm honest. I suppose it's a last-ditch attempt for some advice and maybe some people in the same situation. I just don't know what to do. Would it be wrong to leave my husband because of this addiction that he has?" Well, look, like drink, like drugs, gambling is probably one of the worst addictions you could possibly have. It takes over everything. You will rob, you will steal, you will lie, you will do whatever it takes to put on the next bet. And you know there's no winners. The only winners are the bookies. They're the only winners. You will never be on top. It's very rare have I ever heard of a story where a gambler becomes rich. Very rare. Most gamblers become very poor. They lose everything. They lose their homes, they lose their families, they lose their children, they lose everything. But they don't see it that way because what happens is they'll bet 100 quid here, lose it. 100 quid there, lose it. 100 quid here, lose it. And then they get a win of 150 quid and they think they're great. Oh, this is wonderful. This is brilliant. I'm winning. When in fact they're not. They're 300 quid down on the deal. And they'll go and bet that 150 quid and lose that as well. Then they spend their mortgage, the kids' Christmas money, whatever money they can get their hands on, they will spend. So what do you do in that situation? I mean, it is obvious, I suppose, that this is a real situation for a real family. But would you judge her if she hadn't, basically if she left her husband? Or do you think she would be completely wrong to leave her husband at a time when he needs her most? You know, trying to beat an addiction. He's only really coming to terms with the fact that he has a problem, even though he has it years. I mean, what advice would you give to somebody in that situation if they're living with a gambler? Maybe you are a gambler. Maybe you've lost everything and you can give advice. Maybe you're in that situation. Maybe right now as we speak, you're wondering where you're going to get money for food this afternoon because you've just spent it all in a bookies this morning. What advice would you give to this woman? Let me know what you think. And the number is 087-188-0008. That's our WhatsApp and our text number. That's 087-188-0008. Let me just go to John. John, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, John?
Afternoon, lads. How are you doing?
John, gambling is just as bad as alcohol and drugs and every other addiction. You know, if not worse, because financially it destroys people.
Yeah. Before I get on to my main point, can I just mention your last topic there? If you're going to, and this is your staff, by the way, if you're going to bring them topics up, make sure you have the view of the man and the woman. Otherwise, the listener can make up their own mind as to who is right and who is wrong. The way it is there, your last topic was very man-bashing, and it's very
Well, John, I did say that there was many men in a similar situation. That email just happened to be from a woman.
Yeah, but every time you talk about stuff like that, it's always women.
No, it's not, John. John, you listen to the show all the time. You know that I am a strong campaigner for men's rights. You know that I'm a very strong person when it comes to identifying the fact that as many men are involved in violent relationships as women. It just so happens that particular story today was about a woman that was in that situation. And, John, if we're honest with ourselves and we look at the previous generation, not our generation, but the previous generation, the majority of domestic violence was men against women in the previous generation.
Niall, at the end of the day, if you're going to bring I don't want to labour too much on it, but I just want to make this point here. If you're going to bring on a topic like that, always have both sides of the story.
John, unfortunately, the situation, I don't have both sides of the story because the daughter is writing about her mother.
Then don't raise the story.
It's important to raise it, John. It's very important to raise it.
But then you can't balance the story, Niall.
But John, the story is balanced in the sense that, you know, there are men out there in that situation. Yeah, but hold on. It's a generalised story. There are men out there in that situation too who may have dominant women who are controlling them. They're listening to that and taking the same advice from it anyway. So, I mean, from that point of view, people are still getting strong advice. So it doesn't really matter whether it was men or women. And as I said, during the topic, we mentioned on numerous occasions that there are many men in that situation too. It just so happened that particular story was about a woman. And we have to be able to talk about it, John.
Yeah, I know that, but it comes across to me as a listener and telling anybody else out there, very unbalanced and very anti-man.
No, I don't think for 1 minute it was anti-man. If you have a problem with it, John, you know what to do. You can complain about it.
What am I going to complain about?
Let's move on.
I'm just saying I wanted to raise it with you. I raise it with yourself. Yeah? All right. That's all I'm saying. The fact of the matter, you know, have fair balance in the future, if you don't mind. I'm going to raise the same point. This issue that you're bringing up today can be about men and women. It's not just a man. Now, again, it's a man who seems to be the perpetrator here.
Yep.
And I would say anybody who is involved in a partner who has an addiction, leave them. Let them be male or female, man or woman, husband or wife, I don't care who they are. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be, as you rightly read out there, that woman or that man or whoever is in this case, whoever is in that email, literally their lives is in shattered. Their lives is in bit. And at the end of the day, you know, anybody with addictions, if they don't take responsibility for their lives, they ruin lives. And they ruin everybody else's life along with their own. So you leave them, you run away, and you don't go back near them.
So in other words, what you're saying is this guy is going to drag his wife into his hell.
He's going to drag her. Well, but I'm going to leave a neutral man and woman.
There's no need to do that, John. We're talking about this specific email.
Okay, well,
right.
In terms of your case there, if it's a man in this letter, now I'm saying because I'd rather balance on it, but anyway, the fact of the matter is, if it's, say, hypothetically, it's a man, because I'm going to go on that basis, if it is, yes, the wife should leave him, and she should leave him now because she's going to be dragged down, and she's going to have nothing. And unless that chap, whoever he is or whoever, you know, whatever the case may be, unless he takes responsibility for his gambling, he is not going to do. He's not going to do anything for himself, and he's certainly not going to do anything.
Did you ever have an addiction, John? Did you ever alcohol, gambling, any addiction? Have you ever been involved in any addiction?
No, everything in moderation.
Mm-hmm. Do you gamble?
No.
Would you have a flutter or a bet?
I'm the worst. You know what, Niall? I'd be the worst gambler on the planet. I'd be the worst gambler. I never see the point of going out there and gambling. I know there's a big attraction to it and the sports and all that kind of stuff. I don't get it either.
Point
around addiction.
But it's getting... The problem with gambling is... other addictions just stay the same, alcohol and drugs, right? But the problem with gambling is, the moment is, because of technology and mobile phones, gambling has become a lot easier. I mean, you can gamble on your iPhone while you're in work. You know what I mean? Whereas you couldn't before. You had to go to the bookies. Now you can gamble anywhere. You can gamble in bed at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatever it is. You can gamble anywhere you want.
But the point, Niall, with gambling is it comes down to your personal responsibility. You have to take responsibility for your own life and your own actions. And if that's gambling on a daily basis or a nightly basis or whatever, that is a problem you have to deal with. And if anybody is being affected because of your lack of responsibility in that area, I'm sorry, you should say, listen, leave me. I can't look after you the way I am. You have to take responsibility, and that's the bottom line here.
Okay, well, we'll stay there for a second because Alan, you're on Classic Hits. How are you doing, Alan? Oh, sorry, I got back now. So somebody else texts in, by the way, and says, Niall, you've never mentioned the National Lottery. I know somebody who spends a fortune on the National Lottery on a regular basis, but yet because it's the lottery, people don't see it as gambling. Well, it is gambling. The National Lottery is gambling. It's legitimate gambling, and it's provided by the state, so it is legitimate. And there are people who spend a lot of money. Now, I know there are restrictions in relation to the lottery. I don't know exactly what those restrictions are, but Alan, you're on Classic Hits. How you doing, Alan?
Not too bad at all.
Good, Alan. I mean, what should this woman do?
You see, this is the problem. You're in a no-win situation. That's the first train of thought by that poor woman. Where does she go? First of all, she must go to a counsellor and talk about this. Especially there is people that know about this. It's like Alcohol Anonymous, and there's various places. And she can find that locally through her music.
Yeah, there are addiction centres around, like the Rutland, whatever it is.
And get a bit of advice. I mean, we all need advice. But as a person that came from the drink side of things, it works the same way now. He needs to do it himself. He needs to start the ball. You can make him do it.
And what were you, when you say from your own personal experience, were you an addict or did you know somebody that was?
My dad was an alcoholic.
Your dad was an alcoholic, yeah.
Yeah, very bad. And like I said, it was just, it was the nature of the beast. And we tried, and we all tried. And my sisters, my mother, myself, and I saw my mother and I saw what he did. I had a great mother that worked hard. We all worked hard. We were lucky. We were lucky to keep what we had around us.
But he would have spent every last dime essentially on alcohol.
When he finished his job, which was an early job, he was a milkman.
Yeah.
And he spent all the money when he collected it, when he worked, and then when he walked outside of the milk and walked as a normal PRA worker, same thing happened.
Mm-hmm.
No, he was good. Some months of the year he was brilliant. What a man. I miss him to this day. But he had fierce demons. And that's the situation that poor woman is. She'll have to protect herself and her children and the house. And if she does that and makes him hit the rock bottom,
yeah,
maybe he will decide
to stop.
That he loves his children and he's gonna do something. It doesn't mean he will stop because he's gonna fail if he does it, and he'll try and he'll fail and he'll try and he'll fail. And that's okay, at least he's doing something.
But I've heard shocking stories. I had a guy on 2 years ago who was a gambling addict, and he told us that how bad things had got. On Christmas Day, he took the kids' Santa Claus presents and sold them.
Yeah.
To get money to gamble.
That's more difference to drink. Drink can be that bad. Drugs can be that bad.
I mean, you can't live with somebody like that. You just can't.
Oh, you can't because it destroys your life and your children's life. It destroys you. You have to protect yourself and your children. And that's whether you're a man or a woman, it doesn't make a difference. And I'm looking at this situation with, there's actually more women in trouble than men, no, in gambling.
Well, gambling has become a lot easier for everybody because it's on a mobile phone. It's handy.
But
you don't even have to walk down to the bookies anymore.
Hey, look what's happened with drink. Before, mm-hmm. when I was growing up, which is a while
Yeah,
back.
You're right. And there's more women now affected by alcoholism because of wine. Drinking wine at home.
We didn't drink it. But we didn't drink it. But even when I was growing up, it was easy enough to get a drink because you get your older brother or an older friend or whatever. But still, you didn't have the same access to it, like, you know, like supermarkets and so on and so forth. Again, everything is relative.
But how do you stop this problem? With drugs, we can bring in legislation and laws to stop, to ban, make it illegal. Alcohol, I suppose we can tell barmen not to be serving drunk people. To some extent, you can restrict it a little bit with ages and stuff like that. How do you stop gambling when it's so easily accessible nowadays? You have every night I'm watching the telly, there's ads for bet this and bet that and fancy schmancy ads with Anton Deck on them and all sorts of things for gambling. How do you stop it?
You see, it's gambling, I don't gamble because, again, people that I knew that were alcoholics, they gambled as well a lot more, and I was afraid of it. And I was afraid, like, mm-hmm. too much, right? But gambling is the same thing. It gets into your DNA. It gets into your high of, it's the same as a guy who goes out there and runs a marathon and wins the gold medal, or he wins the world medal or you win something great.
Yeah, sorry, John, yeah.
Yeah, sorry, just listen to that chap there. I agree with most of what he's saying, but what he's missing here and what society's missing here is that we are putting our hands under these people and saying, you know, it's not your fault, it's society's fault. You know, you're not to blame. Why the hard approach needs to be taken with gamblers and, you know, alcoholics and all that and saying, I'm sorry, you have to go through this cold turkey kind of way of realising that you are the problem, that you need to take responsibility, and this soft, liberal approach has to go, and a more hardline approach has to come, and that way people will realise they have a problem. Yeah, CBT, for instance, being one of the cognitive behavioural therapies, showing people exactly the problem, showing them where they're going wrong, and people learn from that. But this liberal way of saying, oh, you know, you're not the problem, you know, it's this, it's that, and the other, and not facing people with their problems properly, that's where we're failing. Because we're just not doing anything for people. And we're not allowing people to take responsibility for their lives and their actions within society today. And that's the problem.
Okay, well, do me a favour. I have to take a break. Loads of other people are WhatsApping. Somebody said, I've been in love with an addict, and through my experience, I think there is no right answer. Leaving an addict can be the best thing for them or the worst in the end. It is the best for you and your family is the right answer. In other words, there's an awful lot more they mentioned there as well about Alcoholics Anonymous, etc., etc. But basically, they're saying the best thing is to leave them. All right, just look at some of the WhatsApp messages coming in as well. Somebody says, Niall, I don't want to go live on the air to be mentioned as I don't want my identity known, but feel free to read out my text. I'm a compulsive gambler and I spent 12 weeks in Cúin Mhuire, Athy, getting help for my problem as recently as the summer just gone. It drove me to the brink of suicide. I lied, begged, borrowed and stole everything I could to those closest to me. I am now 9 months without a bet and taking it one day at a time. GA meetings are my medicine and help me on the right stay in the state now. I'm married with 3 kids and somehow my wife found it in her heart to allow us to have another chance. Yeah, that's a shocking story. He goes on to say, gambling is becoming a huge curse in society and it's only getting worse. There are kids out there who are simply compulsive gamblers yet have never stepped outside a betting shop. Think about that. I think we should be going to target the kids of confirmation age to have them include gambling in the pledge they take. Huge work is needed to be done by the government and bigger restrictions and regulations. It's a horrible, horrible killer of an addiction and is only going to get worse. You're right, people don't have to step outside the front door nowadays. They can just do it on an app. Let me go to Brian. Brian, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Brian?
How you doing, Niall?
Well, I suppose people who are gambling, they're living the dream, aren't they? You know, it's like somebody mentioned earlier on the lotto. So somebody wins, you know, 2 million or 3 million on the lottery. A small amount of people are going to win it at some point, and we're all dreaming that it's going to be us.
Yeah, I just listened to the topic, and I never placed a bet in my life, and I didn't really... You know, there wouldn't be anything I was interested in, or even the topic, what didn't really interest me. But something came to my mind there when I was listening. I was working late last year, just coming up to Christmas, inside in the city. And it was about 10 to 8 I started work, and I was doing the outside of a building. And it was right beside Bookies.
Yeah.
Now, and it was very early in the morning, you know, there was no other place open. And this guy approached me, and... He looked slightly a bit strange, you know. I thought he was looking for money or something, or he had a bag on his back. He just looked different, you know. He looked as if something wasn't right, like. So he approached me anyway, and I was getting stuff out of my van, and he asked me what time is the bookies open at. And I said, geez, I've no idea, like, you know, I wouldn't know, like, I presume 9:30. So I thought he was either working there or he was starting work or something. And I left it at that, but he started making conversation with me. And he said that he sort of has this, he has this system to win the lotto. And he places bets. Now, I didn't fully understand what he was saying, but he places bets for the lotto numbers within the bookies.
Yeah.
But he places them all around the bookies, around the city. So I asked him, like, where are you from? And he said he was from Kerry. But he got so bad that he was stopped going into the bookies in his local town and the surrounding towns around him. They actually stopped him going in because he was continuously going in, spending money, and he was taking up massive time doing this system to win the lotto. And I had asked him then, you know, so that's why he had to come to where I am, which is outside the County Kerry.
And was he winning?
This is the thing I found so funny. Like, I said, out of all the work, how long are you doing this? And he said, 2.5 years.
Right.
And I said, are you winning anything? And I mean, like, €5. He said, the most I've ever won possibly would be €200. And, like, I thought to myself, is this guy now recently out of the nut house now or what? Like,
because you can understand, all of these systems, be it even the National Lottery, is designed so they make money, not you. Now, don't get me wrong, there is going to be a jackpot winner who will be a millionaire. But, you know, we're not all going to win. We're all going to lose.
I just couldn't, like, besides it being the lottery, I couldn't, like, he would go to this extent.
Yeah, I know a lot of people do the lottery in the bookies because they say you have a better chance of winning. Because even if you don't get the six or seven numbers, whatever the hell it is, that even if you get four, you get a better win out of it, right? But in saying that, you know, there's more people doing it possibly there, so you maybe have less chance of winning. So I don't know. But I don't believe there is a system. There was a system going back. A guy called Stefan Klumwitz wrote a book back in the 80s, and there was a system for winning the lottery. Once there was a rollover, basically where he would buy up nearly every combination of numbers, right? But he had won the lottery 3 times in this country. So what they did was they changed the lottery from 36 or 32 numbers to 40, whatever it is, numbers now. So they had to change the lottery to stop people like him winning all the time.
And this guy that I was talking to, actually mentioned that to me.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won it since. I know, but I have a better system. But I said to him, would you
everybody
not
has a system. Yeah.
Would you not try getting a job? And I said, like, you know, like, he said, no.
So
where
was he getting the money for all this betting?
This is the bit that annoyed me. Like, I was up at 6:30 in the morning trying to get to work, you know, trying to get a job started before the city got big, like, because it was on a main street. And this guy gets off a bus, like, and he shows me this kind of scrapbook, you know, paper of this kind of system how to win the lotto. And it's like, it's 300 pages. Yep. And I was like, Jesus, you know.
You know what, Brian? You'll probably see him in the newspaper next week after winning the Euro Millions, and the smile will be on the other side of our faces then.
If he does, his mother will be delighted. He'll get out of her house. That's what I said.
All right, Brian, thanks for that. All right, appreciate it. Okay, I know there's loads of people out there who think they have a system for winning the lottery, but let's be clear about one thing, right? Even the best people would bet, the best systems in the world will tell you that the National Lottery is purely luck. It's only luck. Somebody said to me, oh, look, there's no point in putting a bet on 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 because that's not going to come out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is just as likely to come out as any other combination of 6 numbers. Let me go to Jennifer if I can. Jennifer, you're on Classic Kids. How you doing, Jennifer?
Good, how are you?
Good. Jennifer, you were in love with an addict.
Yep.
Well, okay. But I mean, look, you were in love with a person who happened to be an addict. I mean, he was a gambling addict, I assume.
No. Different kind of addiction.
Okay, all right. What kind of addiction did he have?
Drugs, that kind of thing. But, you know, from my experiences with different people, it's all the same. It affects you in the same way. It releases the same chemicals into your brain, your body, and it destroys your life in the same way. So I don't think it really matters what kind of addiction it is.
So was it the same problems, money being spent and, you know, lying, cheating, well, basically cheating with the addiction rather than cheating with a person, and just basically completely deceiving you constantly all the time?
Oh, yeah, it's entirely that. And he actually asked me one time, he's like, did you ever feel like I cheated on you? Because when he would go use, it was kind of like cheating on me. Like, I would, you know, sometimes we'd get back together and he would be sober and I'd make cracks about, you know, his other girlfriend, but that was addiction. Like, it is. It's definitely like seeing another person you're sneaking around. He could have bought a house with the amount of money he spent on his addiction. Like,
how long were you together?
I'd known him since high school, but we're only together maybe 2 years seriously, and then on and off for 2 years after that. You know, like, he'd be doing okay and get his things together, and then, you know, we'd be together and then we'd fall off again. And that's the thing is, this girl, if she does want to get back with him or stay with him, is you have to be ready to accept that there could be relapses, and they might be once or twice, or it might be 6 months, years. Like, addicts relapse.
And your partner, was he holding down a job? Did he have a job?
Yeah. So he worked construction. I feel like it's one of those really easy ones for addicts because you make a fair amount of money. It's easy to show up in all sorts of shapes, and then it's easy to get new jobs if you.
Yeah, if there's, yeah, there's a lot of construction work going on. So you can lose one job and then you can go off and get another one somewhere else fairly easily. And nobody even knows your past. And what about, was there anybody there to help? I mean, did he have family that, you know, you could confide in and say, listen, can we work together to help him? Or, I mean, was there family involved?
Oh, yeah, I was very close to his family, his sisters, his mom, his dad. And his mom is also on again, off again, kind of addictive personality. And then his dad was an enabler.
Right.
And helping out with money, place to live, kind of didn't let him fully.
So he didn't really see the results of his addiction because his father was bailing him out all the time.
Yeah. Literally bailing him out sometimes out of jail and whatnot. And and that's the thing, too, is like staying with someone sometimes can be worse for the addict because they have a net. They have something keeping them from falling all the way down, so they never hit rock bottom.
Mm-hmm.
They never fully fail to the point where they have to dig their way back out.
Yeah.
And that's kind of crucial to rehabilitation for what I've seen. Like, you really have to hit rock bottom, and it can be very, very bad for some people.
I know you're living in Canada, is it? Or America?
I'm from Minnesota still.
Okay.
Okay,
and where you're living in Minnesota right now?
No, I'm in Ireland.
Oh, you're okay, all right, okay. So I was going to say, what are the support systems like over there? Are they any better than they are here? But obviously it was here at the time, was it, when you were with this guy?
No, it was over there. I don't know if it's better or worse. I'm not sure. I think that they have more groups available for more variety, like.
Oh, okay.
I know that there's definitely a ton of Al-Anon, which is great support for friends and family, loved ones of addicts to try to deal with their choices. And those outcomes, like, should I stay, should I go, like, what's the right answer, and just kind of working through that with other people that had feel that, and there's kind of usually, like, a moderator, and then, like, you have some group chats, and so there's a lot of that available in the States.
And what was the deal, what was the deal breaker in the relationship in the end? What did he do that was the kind of straw that broke the camel's back that you kind of said, okay, that's it, I've had enough of this? Was there a deal breaker at the end? Did he do something drastic that just made you think, I can't deal with this anymore?
You know, it's just I kind of got fed up. It became worse and worse, not better and better over time. Like, you know, shorter and shorter stints of sobriety and worse and worse when he wasn't sober. Like, you know, going to jail and stealing and just like and doing, you know, more variety of, you know, like just
getting involved in more nonsense. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and the people he's hanging out with were getting worse and worse, and just saw our future going farther and farther away from each other, where in the beginning and middle and stuff, you kind of still see like, oh, maybe, you know, if he gets things together, this could be
maybe wonderful. There is a future for us,
and then you just see that it's probably not going to be that way, and there's just so much damage that's been done. I don't know how I could have gotten through that, and so, you know, it just comes to this point where you still are in love, but you just can't be with each other, which is, I think,
actually it's difficult for people listening, you know, or people who are not in that situation to understand how somebody can love somebody who's going to jail, who's taken drugs, you know, who's addicted to such an extent where it's causing your life a misery. It's difficult for people to understand how you can love somebody like that.
It's two people. There's an addict and the person behind the addiction, the original person, the true person, the person they're supposed to be.
Mm.
Like, the person they were and can be, and that's still under there that you see, but it just gets muddied up, you know?
So you could still see that person. There were times you could still see that original person.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Like, that person doesn't go away. It's just little bits change, and you just, like, have to wait for that to come back or realize that, you know, they're not ready for that.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, I'm assuming this was a while ago. How many years ago was this, by the way?
Maybe like three years ago.
And
this all ended.
And have you heard from him since? Is he still in the same situation?
Yeah. No. I'm still in contact with his family. I got really close with them. As I said, I've known him since high school. I still chat with him here and there. He's would be one of my best friends, so sometimes he is, sometimes he isn't, but he's in and out of jail, dating an addict.
Okay.
So
it hasn't changed, really. You're probably the best thing getting out of it, Jennifer, to be honest with you. Mary, you're on Classic Kids. How are you doing, Mary?
Hi, Niall. I have never phoned in a radio station, so I'm very nervous.
I'm your best friend in the whole world. Just pretend we're in the pub and we're having a chat. Mary, I mean, you had an issue when your husband had a gambling addiction.
Yeah, we're about 20 years married now, and the reason I phoned in is because I really feel for this woman. And I know a lot of people will say, you know, break up, move out, but you can work through it, and that's the whole idea of marriage. Now, I don't work for a cord or anything like that.
Yeah.
It was, I remember years ago when the kids were small, it was over, he put us well in over 20,000 behind in the mortgage, behind in the car payments, behind in, I mean, we were so behind, we had to, you know, you might call it rock bottom, but I think rock bottom more so towards the marriage. The kids were small, it was heartbreaking, but...
And did you know, you knew he was doing it at the time, obviously. I mean, did you try and stop him? Were you saying, what are you doing with the money? Where's the money going? Was he lying to you?
I didn't know. I didn't know until, I think it was the ESB, the electricity went off.
Right.
And when the electricity went off, I thought, why, you know, the man came to his door to turn it off, and I said, oh my God, of course we'll pay the bill.
Of course, and, yeah.
Yeah, I had small babies at the time.
Did your husband have a good job? Like, he had a good paying job, and were you working as well yourself at the time?
I would have been on maternity leave.
Okay.
So his wages would have gone towards the mortgage, and mine would have gone towards childcare. So
there was no reason for you to believe bills wouldn't be paid, for example. Yeah.
Yeah, because the childcare at the time would have been around the same price as the mortgage.
Yeah.
Because we had small children all in the creche. But I was on maternity leave. So I instantly said, please don't cut off the electricity. And I paid that bill. And then when he came home, I asked about the other bills. And then it was an enormous shock. Because you might say, well, how did you not know that the mortgage wasn't being paid? But the letters would come in the door, but and certainly there was plenty of red letters, but I didn't know. And that might sound stupid, but I was pregnant and then having a baby and then breastfeeding and then I had toddlers. And
you just thought he was dealing with it. That's grand. Sure.
I never doubted it until the ESB man came to turn off the ESB, and then I realised there's a problem.
Did he admit it to you when you approached him about it?
No.
Right, okay.
No, it didn't. I think it was when I realised the mortgage was so far behind, and I went to talk to the bank, and the bank said, you're both going to have to come in. And that was when we both had to sit down and say, oh my God, what's happened? And that was when you sit down and the bills are just surrounding you, and you think, we're never going to get out of this, and we're going to lose the house, and oh my God, where am I going to live? And I'm going to lose my job if I lose my car. And it was awful. And yeah, you could entirely say, he has done this, it's his fault, I should leave him. But we were young and the kids were small and so in love. And is gambling forever? Like, and my answer to it is no, it wasn't forever. We did come together. We did go to the bank. We did have to remortgage. That was heartbreaking.
You refinanced your problems, essentially,
yes.
And you fixed it. And he's got through it, and he hasn't gone back there again.
No, and it made us talk more, and it brought us together, because I realised, well, I should have been more involved in this. And how did it happen in the first place? You know, it just spiraled. And that's how he would have put it. It spiraled from one thinking.
Absolutely. It's like any addiction. It just, before you do it at the start thinking, oh, sure, I'll just have a pint of beer, or I'll just have a smoke of a joint or something, whatever it is for drugs, or I'll just do this. And before you know it, you're hooked on something.
Then it was trying to win something to pay something back.
Yeah,
and then the bigger, more and more, trying to put more on that bet to be able to pay it. And then once you realise, well, hold on, we can't pay this back, and that was it. And we're at full stop. We're at full stop, or the house is gone.
Well, look, I'm delighted to hear. I'm sorry for rushing you a little bit because I want to get to David as well. But I'm delighted to hear that things are better for you now. And it's good advice as well that, you know, sometimes you can get through it and things can be normal again. Stay there just for a second because David, you're on Classic Hits. David, you wanted to just briefly mention why the county councils are allowing betting offices.
Well, no, I won't keep it. No, time is short. So we have three in our town in West Cork, and they seem to be the only business doing very well every day of the week, and it's the same people who go in, and I always think that these people are very selfish. It's gratification for gambling. We kind of feel sorry for them, but I always think they never give their time to anyone else, you know. But I remember with the Eucharist procession, small little thing, walking through town one day last year, and the only 1 p.m. and a little procession going through the year before, and these betting offices open on a Sunday, and I said, this is what our society is coming. This is the fabric, social society. Everything is, it's awful. It's terrible.
It is.
And the local planners have a lot to answer for.
I know. I mean, they're just. I do understand what you're saying. They approve these, and they approve these leases for betting shops willy-nilly in small towns where they know there might be, say, a high unemployment rate, which is something they should look at when they approve these as well, because that's also a problem too. People spending the small bit of money they actually have in betting shops. I'm sorry for cutting you short. I'm sorry for cutting everybody short. And also, by the way, if you do have a problem with gambling or you know somebody with a problem with gambling, you can contact Gamblers Anonymous Ireland. And the number is 01 872 1133. They also have a Cork number, by the way. It's a mobile number, 087-285-9552. All right, and if you're in Galway, it's 086-349-4450. That is Gamblers Anonymous. You can get them online, by the way, as well, if you look online. Damien Farley's on the way. He's going to brighten up the afternoon. I'll talk to you again tonight after 9, where it gets a little bit more heated.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show. Classic Hits.